Also, I was going to say, Treva and I will be going to 218's Harvest Festival on Friday night. And so we would love for you to join us. We'd love to just have a whole little section of Bridge of Hope supporters for what they're doing over there. We love Pastor Everett. We love that church. And just, I actually was going to make the very same statement. I promise you this, you won't go into a lot of churches that will be advertising other churches' services and encouraging their people to go because they're trying to build a church. We are not trying to build a church. We are trying to build the kingdom of God. And so obviously everybody can't even fit in this church. So let's build them all. Let's build all of them that are preaching the gospel, right? Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. We've been preaching through the book of Acts. In the last few weeks, we've talked about Cornelius and how Peter went over to Cornelius and salvation came to the Gentiles. And Cornelius got saved, which was real symbolic of what God was doing. And so now we're going to pick up and continue the story in Acts chapter 11. We're going to start with verse 19. We're going to read through 26, and we're going to skip over to chapter 12 and read the first five verses. And I'm going to wind up preaching to you pretty much the whole chapter 12. We don't have time to read it all. So Acts 11, verse 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they'd come to Antioch, they spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. Isn't that an interesting way to say that? They didn't have Facebook back in those days. came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and he'd seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, Barnabas, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him back to Antioch. So it was that whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now look over to chapter 12. It says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, that was the apostle James, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you, Lord. So thankful, Lord, for your presence, the Spirit of the Lord that is here. Lord, thankful, Lord, for the worship and the ministry, Lord, of prayer to the saints, God. We're just thankful, Lord, for everything that's happened in the first service and the start of the second service. And we believe, God, we believe, Lord, that you are doing great and mighty things and will continue. We know your word is true, that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you'll be in the midst of them. So we recognize, Lord, that you are right here. And you are able to touch our needs, to minister to our heart, to minister to our mind, God, the whole person, Lord, you are able to help us. So we cry out to you today, Lord, help us. Help us. Give us what we need today in this service. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to start off today, and I just want to tell you the story of what we read, and then I'm going to make a couple of comments. So the first thing we see In Acts 1:8, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be my witnesses, and you'll go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we knew that was basically a prophetic word over Christendom, over the kingdom of God. We just didn't know how it was going to happen. And so it didn't happen the way men thought it would happen. And I just bring that to your observance because many times when you're asking God for things, it won't happen the way you think it will happen. God works his own plan, not your plan. So try not to tell God how to answer your prayer. Just pray and let him answer it. So the way the church was scattered was persecution. Persecution came by Stephen being martyred. Stephen was killed. And when Stephen was killed and the threats was gone out, like, he's just the beginning, we're going to get the rest of you too. This is what happens. Like cockroaches when the lights turn on, right? Bam. The church is scattered. They're running every which way. But as they went, they preached the word of the Lord. And so, but they were mostly preaching to the Jews. So, but the Bible says the power of the Lord was with them and large numbers believed and turned to Jesus. I wanted to bring that to you because of this. When you go out, now, when we hear this statement, we think street reach, we're going out to the streets. Now, see, going out could be going to work tomorrow. When you go out in the name of the Lord, which is, you know, who we serve, you need to understand the power of the Lord is with you. And he will help you in difficult times. And so many people shy back from talking about Jesus or saying a lot of things because they think, well, I just don't have that knowledge, or I'm not real good in the scripture, or, you know, I get confused when I talk to people. It's not all about you. We make it all about us, but actually all we're doing is taking a step forward and saying, God, fill my mouth. Amen. Because it really is about the power of God on you and in you. And that's exactly what was happening here. They just went out and the power of God fell. And I love this line. When the church said, hey, we need to investigate what's going on down there in Antioch, they sent Barnabas. And when Barnabas got there, he said this, I saw the grace of God. And I'm like, how do you see the grace of God? And you know, it would be hard to describe, but haven't you seen the grace of God on people? Where God's favor has just overshadowing them. And it's like watching the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see the results of the wind, can't you? I'm telling you can see the results of the move of God. Grant is a perfect picture. I mean, he didn't even wait for me to preach. That tells you that's a spiritual work, amen. Right? That's a spirit drawing his spirit to come up and saying, I need Jesus. Hallelujah for that. So we could say it this way. We saw the grace of God on Grant today, right? And that's what he was saying. I love also that they sent Barnabas. And so why did they send Barnabas? Because he was a good man. He was a man full of the Holy Spirit. But let me add one. He was a magnet. He was a man magnet, a man and woman magnet. In other words, people want to be with people that encourage them, that will speak a positive word. And Barnabas, his real name was Joseph, I think. But they called him Barnabas because he's a son of encouragement. He is such an encourager. Let me challenge you in this. You know, the Bible says if you don't have friends, show yourself friendly. Maybe you feel a little bit ostracized where you work or different places. You go in that place and you begin to speak encouragement to people. You just start sowing that seed of encouragement and love and you watch what happens. Last week you ate dinner by yourself in the lunchroom, but this week you'll have a table full because people want to be encouraged. People want to hear a good word. And don't you get tired of watching the news? Because it ain't encouraging. It's dreadful, right? And all these political advertisements, it's like, oh, Can somebody just get the knife out of my, let's get this thing over and let's unify again and become one nation under God. So anyway, so Barnabas goes down there to Antioch and saw what was going on. And then he goes to Tarsus. He says, now, I think this is really interesting. I need Saul. I need Saul. I need the guy that I brought to the church, right? So he goes to Tarsus, picks up Saul, and comes back to Antioch. And for a year, they stay there and they taught the church that was starting, the new church, right? They begin to teach them. At this time, believers in Christ was called people of the way, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So they were known as the way. And so, but there's a verse 26 that gives you a little insight, and it says this. It's in Antioch that they were first called Christians. And so that the word Christian in Greek is Christos. My title of my sermon today is Christos means Jesus person. And I just wonder, do people call us Jesus person? I said in the first service, I think it would go more like this. Well, he's a Jesus freak, yeah. Right? So when they called them Christians, it was a negative connotation to that. It was not a positive word. They were not saying, oh, they're such good people. They're so wonderful. They're Christians. No, no. It was like, they're Christians. They're Christ followers. They're weird. They talk weird. They use words we ain't ever talked about before, right? They just saw them as very unusual people. And so the church meant it as bad, or the people, the world meant it as bad, those Jesus freaks over there. But the church, they heard it and said, yes, we are. And they were proud, you know, I'm proud to be known as a Jesus person. And we should be too. If somebody says, you know, growing up in the 60s and 70s, the Pentecostal people were still known as holy rollers. We sort of lost that term. But I can remember in school people calling me a holy roller. And I'd say, hey, that's right. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And I'm not ashamed of the move of the Holy Ghost. Because I know it's genuine. I know it's of God. And so call me what you want to, but there's no higher calling than to call me a Jesus person. Amen. Amen? So at the very same time that this is happening in Antioch, now Herod the king begins to rise up and he kills James at the same time, has him killed. And the religious leaders, the Jews, thought that was wonderful. They got really excited at the fact that he was going to kill them. And so because it brought him such favor with the people, he said, well, let's get another one, right? If you're happy with James, let's go after Peter. And so now he's set his eyes on Peter. He's going to, he fully expects to capture Peter and have him executed just like he did James. But they couldn't do it at the moment because it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So I want you to see how strange this is. What an oxymoron this is. So here we have a group of religious people that are in the middle of the feast. Now, the Jews celebrated 7 feasts a year, 4 in the springtime, 3 in the fall. And so the first one would be Passover, then unleavened bread, and the Feast of First Fruits, and they were all in 1 week. And then 50 days from Passover, 50 days later, would be the Feast of Pentecost. And then in the fall, you had Feast of Trumpets, the Atonement, and another one that I can't remember. Tabernacles, that's right, Feast of Tabernacles. And so here we are celebrating the feast and saying, hey, this is a religious week for us. So we can't kill Peter today. I'm just amazed at how sometimes in our religion, we think opposite of the way God thinks. Now, God is all about love, is he not? I mean, that's how he describes himself. I am love, right? God is love. And the two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And what do? Kill Peter. You know, it's easy to see other people's mistakes. It's really easy to see other people's hypocrisy. Sometimes it's hard to see my own. And so have you ever been told, I don't want to go to church over there because it's filled with hypocrites? Yeah. You know what I say? I say, absolutely, and I am one. And so are you. Every person in this building is a hypocrite because we're not perfect. We're preaching a perfect gospel and we're on our journey, but we ain't perfect. And so are we a little bit hypocritical sometimes? We are, but we're a work in progress. We don't want to stay that way. We want to move to perfection, of which we are. Also at the same time, Agabus spoke up in a meeting and gave a prophecy and said there's going to basically be a worldwide famine. So God is moving by a prophetic voice and speaks that out into the church. And so the church then takes an offering and sends it to Jerusalem so that they would be able to give it to the people. But while Peter is arrested, the church began to pray. James 5:16 says, the earnest prayer of a righteous man avails much and has great power. In the middle of the night, they said they put in four squadrons of soldiers around him, which meant there were 16. A squadron was four. So there were 16 soldiers. Two were connected to him. Two were at the door and probably had another shift and maybe a couple other shifts. So they were rotating in and out, I'm sure. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But they were right there beside him and at the door. And so in the middle of the night, Peter's asleep. And all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord comes and taps him on the shoulder and says, wake up, Peter. Now get up, man. And all of a sudden, the chains that's on his arms, the chains that's on his legs just immediately fall off. Peter thinks he's having a vision. And so he says, come with me. And so the angel led Peter out of the jail cell, out of the prison. And when he got to the edge of the city gate opened by itself. And Peter walks through the city gate and all of a sudden the angel disappears. It's at that time that Peter says, this isn't a vision. This is really happening to me. And so what am I to do now? So normal, good process of thought. He says, I'm going to go to where I know they're meeting over at Mary's house, not Mary, the mother of Jesus, a different Mary. It's actually the mother of John Mark, one of the disciples or a disciple. And so he goes over there, he knocks on the door, and Rhoda comes to the door, and Peter says, hey, let me in. Keeping his voice, I mean, just escaped from prison, so you don't want to announce too much. Hey, let me in. This is Peter. She recognizes his voice before he ever says anything. And so she runs back in the house and says, guys, I mean, they're in there praying for the release of Peter. Guys, Peter's at the door. Oh, stop that, Rhoda. Now get out of here, girl. I thought, that's exactly how we pray today. Say, somebody is sick, Lord, we're just going to anoint with oil. We're going to pray the prayer of faith and we're going to believe God. Call the funeral director. A friend of mine who was a minister, he went to pray for a guy one time and he said the family was standing on both sides of the bed and they were talking about the funeral arrangements. Well, we need to get this done. And this pastor's trying to pray the prayer of faith. And he said, guys, he said, can we have a death before we have a funeral? That guy come out of that sickness and wrote every one of them out of his will. I was there. That's a true story. But we are to believe God. You hear me? When we pray, we are to believe God. Now, there's always, I talked about this in Sunday school, from the time you pray to the time you get an answer, there is going to be a space of time. Rarely does God do stuff instantly for us. Why? Because it takes faith. This middle part right here, let's just call that patience. It's waiting on God, and it's very difficult. And so most of the church would say, don't pray for patience, don't pray for patience. That's nonsense. You listen to me. You pray for patience. Now, patience is going to bring some trials to your life, but the Bible says, in your patience possess ye your soul. So you become mature in the Lord as you patiently wait for God to complete what you've asked for. Now, as this church was praying for Peter, there wasn't a long wait. I mean, they were in the house praying and he shows up at the door. God answered like that. So I just have a couple of points that I want to bring to you today. And the first one is there evidence in my life that I am a Christos? I am a Jesus person. You know, I'm so sick of witnessing and asking people, are you a Christian? Because everybody says yes. You know why? Because we have dumbed down that word to where it means absolutely nothing. You know what most people think? It means I was born in America. So since I'm born in America, I'm a Christian, right? Because it's a Christian nation. No. It means in the Greek, the original word, the Greek, Christos, a Jesus person. Is there evidence in your life that you are a Jesus person? So I just come up with five things that I would ask you today. Number one, do you have a personal, intimate connection with Jesus? Because the Bible says in John 15:1, he says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. In other words, you've got to be hooked into the vine because the vine is the source. It's the source of your strength. It's the source of your power. It's the source of wisdom. It's everything we need, we're going to find in Jesus. Right? Actually, Peter said that. Everything we need for life and godliness, it's in Christ. It's in the Word. So we dig out the Word. So we must stay connected to who Christ is. So have you ever met somebody who was on fire for God, and then all of a sudden, they just started to get, many times it's offense. Many times something happens and they get offended, and they just start missing church, and they stop praying. They get in a place in their life, I would call it a funk. They get in a funk in their life that's just, they don't really do much of anything. And you know what happens? They begin to spiritually die. And before long, many other people will look at them and recognize it. And many times they don't see it in themselves. Am I connected to Christ today? Is there a strong connection to Christ to the point that others see it? Would others people say, that's a Christos. That's a Jesus person. Even if they meant it derogatory, would they say it? Number two, do I have a love for his word? You know, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I said this morning, sometimes people take their Bible to church on Sunday, and then when they go out to the car, they throw it in the back seat of the car so that next week on Sunday, they can reach back to the back seat of the car and get them. That ain't what it's about, folks. You need to carry, that's your sword. And when we talk about the armor of God, every bit of it is protective. Every bit of it, the only thing that's offensive is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When Jesus was being tempted by the devil, how did he overcome? The Word of God. He spoke the Word. So if you're ignorant of the Word of God, and I don't mean that to be insulting, I'm just saying lack of understanding. Well, let's solve it. Let's start studying the Word. Matter of fact, I will tell you, when I got saved at 7 years old, the very first thing that happened to me is I love the Word. I would go into my bedroom, 7 years old, and I'd lay on my bed and I'd open the Bible and I'd read the Bible and I'd cry. I know that surprises you. Because to me, that was precious. That's the Word of God. And as a seven-year-old, innocent little seven-year-old kid, I thought, this is God's book to me. We've lost that. we are treating the Word of God like it's just any old other book. Folks, put everything else aside. Get back into the holy book. And let's love the Word. I will tell you, you will be changed into the image of Christ by and large because of your involvement in the Word. Now, the Holy Spirit plays a big part in moving upon us, but most of the time the Holy Spirit will come in, will get involved when you're reading the Word. He illuminates the Word. So how many times have you been reading the Bible and you've read this passage of Scripture 100 times, but today it's like the Holy Spirit just said, look at this, you know? Hey, you know, and it's like, whoa, I've never seen that before. Yeah, you have. You've seen it hundreds, maybe thousands of times, but the Spirit of God all of a sudden just come alive and made your spirit aware, this is your verse. I know you're going through a difficult time and you need to know this. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, he'll complete it. Oh man, you remember getting that the first time? I remember seeing that verse and saying, being confident of this, he who began a good work in me, he won't stop. Bless the Lord. I love the Word of God. When I first started preaching, I would preach and I'd say, this is my favorite verse. And then I'd say, next week, this is one of my favorite verses. Oh, this is one of my favorite. And Treva said, Eric, you look like a liar. You're always saying this is my favorite verse. Well, they're all my favorites. So. Number three, do I pray and have a desire for worship? Or does somebody have to force me to pray? Do I love assembling together? I mean, there ought to be a love to get together. I heard my mother-in-law pray this one time. Those of like precious faith. That's us. We're very different, but we're very similar. Why? Because we all have the same faith. And that faith is in Christ. And that faith propels us to pray. So when you have a problem, now just go with me. When you have a real problem in life, what's your first thought? I need to pray about this. Or is, I need to go to the banker. I'm thinking I'm going to need a loan for this. Do you try to solve it yourself? I mean, that's a man's way usually. That's you. That's just honest. That's not wrong necessarily. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm just saying at some point you need to get to where you switch over and say, this is a real problem. What if my kids all live in Cincinnati? What if someone called me and said, hey, your granddaughter is really sick? My first instinct was, I'm going to go to Cincinnati. I want to get there, right? I want to be there. But my second instinct ought to be, you better get on your knees first. You better reach heaven. I'm telling you guys, I could tell you story after story about how Treva and I has been called in the middle of the night, or the Spirit of God just, we had a good friend one time, her dad had open heart surgery that night, and that afternoon, 2:00 in the morning, the Spirit of the Lord just wakes me up, says, pray for Rita's dad. Pray for Rita's dad. And so I just laid there in bed and I just began to plead the blood of Jesus over that man. I had no idea Treva was awake to. And so the next morning we got up and I said, the Lord woke me up last night to pray for Rita's dad. And she said, what time? And I said, about 1:00. She said, I was wide awake over praying on my side of the bed. And we both prayed for an hour and the Lord released the burden. Why? Because they rushed him back into the emergency room where they found his heart was bleeding. Something had happened and his heart was, he was bleeding out, and they were able to stop the bleed and they were able to fix his heart and he was okay. Why? Because a good surgeon? No, because people prayed. My mother was awake one night or sleeping one night, and all of a sudden my brother was coming from Springfield. And it was in the middle of the wintertime. There's snow on the road. And he fell asleep at the wheel. Mom woke up at 12:30, I think she told me. And she said, I just knew I had to pray for Carl. She got down on her knees beside the bed and she just began to plead the blood of Jesus. We don't even know what that means anymore. appropriate the blood, because the blood has power. So we plead the blood of Jesus. Jesus, be with my son. Be with my son. Whatever's happening in the spirit, be with my son. About that same time, when 4 or 5 hours away, my brother had fallen asleep at the wheel, and he kept hearing a wah, wah, and he wondered, what is that noise? And he woke up to see an 18-wheeler coming right at him. He took the ditch, and he went in the ditch. He had two other guys with him. They got in the ditch, got stopped, and they all three young men, sat there and bawled like babies. It was that close. What happened? God woke a mama up. You hear me? We do not understand how powerful prayer is. Lots of times people, you know, I'm as guilty as there is. People will be going through a trial or going through difficulty, and I'll say, well, what can I do for you practically? Can I mow your yard? Can I get your groceries? What can I do for you? And I really mean it. But I'm telling you, the highest calling, the best thing that we can do is to say, I promise you, Dale, I'll be praying for you. And then do it. Don't just say it, but do it. Let's become people of prayer. Why? Because nothing good happens until we pray. We ought not be forced to prayer. It ought to be a priority to us. Do I enjoy gathering with other believers? You know, oftentimes I'll tell people, you have to come to church here 3 weeks if you want to see the church. That's an indictment on us as a body of Christ, and the fact that this is the end of times. The early church met every day for church service. When I was a kid, we went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and any other time they met, we were there. You've seen that saying, I was drugged when I was a kid. I was drugged to church all the time. And that was my life, going to church. And today, and I don't know how to say this without just sounding like I'm slapping you around. I'm just trying to remind us, your attendance is important. You see, you never know what service God will change your life. What if Grant had decided not to come to church today? He maybe not doesn't even totally understand the ramification, but his whole life changed this today. This day, Grant is a new creation in Christ. All of heaven is rejoicing because Grant Holt got saved. Isn't that something? Don't miss it when we get together. God is moving. The last thing, am I obedient to the commands of God? If God tells me to do something, even if it's through the word, it's not an option. You know, I'm not necessarily talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about everything God said, right? The word of the Lord. So Jesus himself boiled down the Ten Commandments to two. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor, you're going to want to see them do well. You're not going to want to see them arrested and killed, right? So am I fulfilling that great commission? Am I going because he said go? Am I giving because he said give? So am I doing what the Lord says? I want to read what I consider one of the most scary verses in the Bible. And it's Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Across Henry County today, there's over 200 churches in Henry County. There's 35,000 people that live in Henry County. So let's just say 10,000 people have gathered together in all these churches to worship the Lord, doing their, what some would say, their religious duty. They've come together, 10,000 people. According to this verse, they may be crying, Lord, Lord, but their heart may be far, far from them. So it might be easy to say, well, there's 10,000 people, you know, that go to church regularly in Henry County. That means 10,000 people are going to heaven. Not so. That's not what the word just said. Not everybody. There's a lot of people doing their religious thing in Henry County. And God's not, listen to me, God's not called us to religion. God's called us into a relationship. And He, when He talks about the relationship with Christ and the church, He compares it to the husband and his bride. That's the closeness that He wants. I mean, I don't think there's, unless it's parent-child, there's not a closer relationship than husband and wife. And that's who God says, you are my bride. This is the kind of love relationship I want with you. So those are the things. Is there enough to convict me that I am a Christ person? And then the second point that I wanted to bring, I've heard this all my life. Well, the early church was so wonderful. It was so good, but it was so different than the church of today. Not so. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to bring 5 points to you, but I'm going to add a sixth one. And here's the sixth one. In Acts chapter 6, they got into a fight. The Hellenist Jews and the Jews got into a fight. Says, you're not treating our widows right. And they split over the color of the carpet. No, they didn't. But they got into a fight. Now, that sounds like church to me. Right? I mean, I hate to say that, but we're people. And people are going to have scrimmages. Right? But what do? When we disagree, we submit it to the Lord and we walk in love. Right? We get that thing before God quickly so they can be dissolved and resolved. And that's exactly what they did. They took it to the apostles. They elected deacons. All of a sudden, wham, it's solved. We can walk together in unity. That sounds like the church. Maybe you don't know about that side. But every week, my door opens. Somebody comes in and says, Tevin made me mad. I'll say, Tevin makes everybody mad. Not true. You get what I'm saying? There's always scrimmages in church. That's not new to our society. That's not new to the church of today. It's Acts chapter 6 all over again. But how we solve it, take it to the Lord, right? So the number one thing, not counting that one, but the number one thing is the church called Ecclesia, or the called out ones. They're a community of believers who met together for worship and discipleship, and they met on the first day of the week. You know why? Because people ask you that. Hey, why did we quit worshiping God from Saturday to Sunday? Because Jesus was resurrected on Sunday, right? They were all Jews, but they began to worship on Sunday because of the resurrection. It's the resurrection of Jesus that makes all the difference in the church, in us, because of the resurrection. Amen. So they were the called out ones. We are the called out ones. God has called us to do a work. So it's the same process. We're still at it today. Number two, the church was a group that accepted the message of Jesus that was forgiveness of sins. That's by and large what it was. Hey, you're a sinner and I'm a savior. I can forgive you of your sin. Why? Because I died on the cross for you. I was buried, but I rose again. You know, I was talking about the feast at the beginning. Passover, we know what that was about. Unleavened bread, leaven's a sign of sin. And so we're getting the leaven out. But then it was the first fruit. What was that about? Jesus is the first fruit, right? He's the first one that was resurrected by God's power out of that grave to go to heaven. But guess what? He's the first one, not the last one. It's going to happen again, folks. Matter of fact, it's happening every day through this world. People are dying into the flesh, but they're rising up to be absent from this body, to be present with the Lord. Amen. Number three, the church was discipled by Barnabas and Saul. So for a year, they stayed there and just taught the new body, the new church, taught them the ways of Christ. It's exactly what we do today. Number four, the church heard that there was a famine and that there was a need over there. So they take up an offering And they give it to Barnabas and said, take this to Jerusalem so that Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem, can disseminate it wherever it's needed. What are we doing this week? We're taking up an offering for Convoy of Hope, and we're saying there's needs all through North Carolina, all the way down Tennessee, North Carolina, all the way down to Florida. There's a great, massive need. Convoy of Hope is wheels on the ground. They're helping people. They're doing things. So how can we help those people in Florida? By helping Convoy of Hope serve those people. Do you see why? It's the same thing. Also, there's a lot of people that are against denomination. They say, oh, denominations are not of God. That was basically the beginning of a denomination. There was a hierarchy. There was a covering. This little church in Antioch said, we need to help those people that are having trouble. Let's send an offering to Jerusalem who will get the offering to where it needs. There was a covering for that. Does that make sense? So quit griping about denominations. Are there a lot of problems? Yeah, there's a ton of problems. There's a ton of problems with denominations. There's a ton of problems with the church. But I'm telling you, we're not real different than the early church. That doesn't mean nothing to you guys. That just meant the world to me. Because all my life, I'm 63 years old. And since I've been born again, I've been hearing, well, we need to be like the early church. Listen to me. We are. We are like the early church. Are there differences? Yes, but we are just like them. We're taking offerings. We're being discipled by people that we appreciate. We're worshiping. We're praying. They were in the room praying for Peter's release. When folks are sick, what did we do this morning? We called for the elder of the church, anointed with oil, and prayed the prayer of faith, believing that you're going to be healed, believing that you're going to be ministered to. Are you getting this? The church of God is still alive. It's still moving. It hasn't changed. Our job is to keep him center. Keep Jesus on the throne and not a man. No matter how talented the man is, he's still a man. Don't worship men. You worship Christ. There's no failure there. Number five, the church practiced prayer as the response to opposition and saw supernatural things happening. I wish that we were better at telling the story of answered prayer. But we are not real good about that. But I'm telling you, God is answering prayer. God is still healing bodies, restoring marriages. God is still at work. In Ephesians chapter 6, I'm closing. Stay with me just a couple more minutes. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 12, and then I'm going to read verse 18. Very familiar portion of scripture. He says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you'll be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. And he does have strategies. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. His word is, be strong in the Lord. How are we going to do that? By taking up the armor of God. And then verse 18. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, be watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Listen to me. Give me just a minute. The effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. You can't see it. You can't determine how effective it is. But you listen to me, the word of God is true. And he says, pray always. When somebody's sick, pray. Somebody's having trouble, pray. Whatever the case is, the answer is prayer. You see, it should not be our last resort. It ought to be our first place. The very first. And when someone tells you, I am praying for you, and they mean it, they really mean it, you say, thank you very much. What a gift. I'm telling you, Trisha's been with us. She'll be leaving here in a few minutes, going back to Springfield. You know what we'll do? We will pray. You didn't ever leave my mother-in-law and father-in-law's house unless we prayed. I mean, we gathered in a circle. It's something that we still do to this day. 43 years later, we've been trained well. We gather in a circle and we pray. Why? Because I believe prayer works. We have a Tuesday morning prayer. We have a ladies' prayer. We have a Saturday night prayer. We have a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Treva started the service by saying this. When we started this church, God told us basically one thing. I want this church to be all about loving people and prayer. I said this morning, and my wife jumped all over it. God has not called the church to be the house of good preaching. And she said, thank God. He has not called the house to be a house of fellowship, a house of worship, a house of games, a house of fall festival or volunteer banquets. That is not our purpose. Are those things wrong? Absolutely not. They're not wrong. They're good. But you just remember this. This is a house of prayer. Above everything else, we believe in prayer. Why? Because we pray to a God who says this, my eye is upon the righteous and my ear is turned towards their prayer. That's why we pray. Amen. I told you I was done, so I'll quit lying. So you stand with me if you would. Ray still in here? Yeah. Ray, why don't you come up? I'm going to ask you to close with a blessing. He spoke last night at our volunteer banquet and did a phenomenal job of talking about love. And so I hope one of these Wednesday nights we're going to get him to do that here and probably preach the same sermon. It was just so good. But folks, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never been introduced to my good friend, if you can't say, I'm a Christ person, I'm a Jesus person, we want you to be a Jesus person before you leave this room. And so would you just bow your head, close your eyes, and let me just say this. This is what I mean by this. Right now, it's very possible that the Spirit of God is ministering to you, and you probably feel like your heart is going to jump out of your chest if this is happening. And all of a sudden, you're beginning to realize, I'm a sinner. I've made lots of mistakes in my life, and I've never asked Jesus to forgive me. And so all of a sudden you're saying, Lord, I need you to forgive me of my sins. And I need you to come into my heart and be my Savior and my Lord. I want to listen and I want to follow you all the days of my life. Folks, that's salvation. And what happens is then Jesus begins to change you. He begins to clean you up and begins to make you into the image of Christ. So really, we would say then, now you're a Jesus person. So is there anyone here with just an uplifted hand say, Pastor, would you pray for me this morning? Because I need to make sure that I'm born again. Amen. I see those hands. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. God bless you. See those hands. So let's just pray it together. Jesus, I am a sinner. Pray that with me out loud if you would. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Father, for your forgiveness. I believe that now I'm a new creature in Christ. The old is gone and the new has begun. Father, help me to reflect the light of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yeah, you better come up and get the mic. They won't. No, you won't hear it on Facebook. They won't hear you on Facebook.
I just want to thank y'all. I put on Facebook Monday that I had my back went out on me. And that's very scary for me because I've had a spinal fusion and I do hair. So it's not like I can work if I can't stand up. And it was pretty bad Monday. I put that on there. Needless to say, I came in here this morning, and I know y'all have been praying because my back was so much better, but I still had some tightness and a little bit of soreness. But after I came up for prayer this morning, that was healed.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So y'all are doing exactly what he preached. You're loving on people because so many people reached out on my post and messaged me, and then... So that's the house of prayer.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Amen. Remember, this is the meet and greet day. And so if you have never met my wife and I, we would love to meet you, get your name. So we're going to move back to the fellowship hall, Treva and I will, and just to spend a couple of minutes with you and introduce you. So I'm going to ask Ray if he'd come and dismiss us with the blessing.
It's been a while since I've done this, so if I miss a word, don't be critiquing me, all right? So let me speak a blessing over you before you go today. I pray your heart is full, though, right? Hey, when we leave here, this ought to be the beginning of our week. You're salt and light. If we're going to be Jesus people, let's go shine. Shine bright, right? So may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Isn't that awesome? Come on, feel that. Feel that. May he be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go out there and be Jesus' people, amen, and serve the Lord.